Jason Stark's with us, all the way from ESPN. Hi, Jason. Scott and Jeremy here.
How are you guys?
Good. Well, I checked your column today, and you got into kind of a hot topic for all of us. Everybody kind of scratching their head. Why would the Marlins bring in an 80-year-old Jack McKeon? Trader Jack's still at it. I watched some of the game last night, and there was a check swing, and a ball went flying toward their dugout. And the first thing, I guess it was a Tiger announcer, said was, "Hope it didn't get Jack." He's still there, right?
Far as I know, I can smell the smoke from here. What about you?
Hey, really? And how about you kind of piled on. I saw you used Keith Law's. I thought it was a great line, if you want to repeat it for our listeners, about Jack McKeon. Do you remember it?
There's going to be a lot of jokes. Let's put it that way. The Keith Law line was, apparently the Marlins believe Jack McKeon holds the keys to contention. Too bad he can't remember where he left them.
Oh, man, that's bad. And I keep telling Jeremy I'm getting closer to 80 than I was 40, so I'm kind of pulling for Jack. But kind of a strange move. What are your thoughts on putting a guy that's 80 years old in the dugout?
Well, he was available.
Yes, he was.
You know, he had a couple things going for him. He was very available. He already worked for them. He was on their payroll. They didn't have to pay him or hire him. And they needed somebody who was not interested in doing this for the long haul. And, yeah. You know, a guy who's 80 years old is not looking for a 10-year contract.
Right.
So Jack fit the criteria. These are 3.5 important months in the life of the Marlins because they're moving into a new ballpark. And they've got to build momentum and interest in their team as they get closer to the park. And so when they get there, Ozzie Guillen will be the manager, Bobby Valentine will be the manager, some big name who's in it for a while. But in the meantime, they need somebody who can hand out some tough love and change the mindset of the group.
Yeah,
by benching Hanley Ramirez his very first game, we know that Jack McKeon's that guy.
Yeah, he didn't care. I read the column about where he pulled Brad Penny out. He was an out away from a win and just made a statement. He wasn't pitching well, and hey, I don't care if he's an out away from a win. He's coming off the mound, right?
Yeah, well, Mike Redmond told me that story about he was catching Brad Penny one day a couple weeks after Jack took over the Marlins in 2003, and that team was in just about as big a mess as this team. And the one thing they had going for them were their young pitchers, and Brad Penny was one out away from a win. And Jack didn't like what he was saying, so bam, he
marched
out of the dugout, went to the mound, took the ball, and Brad Penny wasn't happy. But he certainly sent a message. The message was, it isn't about you, it isn't about your numbers, it's about this team and how you act and how you go about it if you want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Jack McKeon can deliver those messages, and the point that Mike Redmond made was he delivered one, everybody saw it, and everybody got it.
I want to follow up one more about the Marlins because I'm clicking channels and I'll check in on the Marlins occasionally. Last night with a rain delay, I understood they were about 90 minutes late getting started, but there's never anybody in that ballpark. It's depressing to watch a game, and I got to think it's tough for home visitor players to play in that environment. Is that going to work? Are they suddenly going to show up when there's a new stadium?
They've sold a lot of tickets for next year. They just can't sell them for this year.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
You know, that's why the rest of this year is so important. I mean, they need to have people who are now walking around South Beach or finding other things to do, hitting golf balls, suddenly look at the Marlins and say, whoa, Mike Stanton might become the best player in baseball. Logan Morrison is going to be a star. Hanley Ramirez has his act together. Josh Johnson might win 4 Cy Youngs. And I got to go see that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to rain.
And it's not going to rain.
It's going to be 112 degrees. They've got a chance. When you open the gates of a new park, as the Orioles found out, you've got an opportunity. It doesn't last forever. They've got a lot of pieces in place that could enable them to be great. But they've got to finish the job. And the decisions they make, the people they hire, the players they sign, the players they dump. I mean, these are the most important decisions probably in the lifetime of that franchise, because mm-hmm. if it doesn't work now, it's never going to work.
Talking to Jason Stark of ESPN, I wanted to get to Friday night, and I saw you wrote something about it in your latest article. One of the craziest things that I still can't even imagine how it happens, where you have three guys in your lineup get at least four hits. Derek Lee had five. And when you look at Markakis and Jones with four hits, neither one of them drives in a run. I'm sitting there watching the hit total, saying, how the hell do you have 15 hits and two runs at some point in the game? But they managed to do it.
Yeah, I mean, this team's been awfully inventive about finding ways to lose. But that's an all-timer. We've never had a game in the live ball era where three different players on one team got at least four hits and none of them drove in a run. We'd only had one game in the live ball era where two players on one team got four hits and didn't score or drive in a run. The Orioles did both those things in one game. That's not good, right?
No. But at least we're talking about them, right? Hey, the other interesting stat I saw in your column, and I watched Clayton Kershaw last night. He was amazing, but you said that was the first time a complete game shutout by a Dodger pitcher who struck out the side in the ninth since Sandy Koufax?
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw, he's a special talent.
Wow.
And, you know, his team isn't playing real well, and they play three time zones away from where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how many people really have gotten a chance to see it, but last night was one of those nights where, you know, it all fit together, and he goes out there, shuts out the Tigers.
He made Cabrera look bad.
He can make anybody look bad. He's got tremendous stuff and a tremendous desire to be great. And to strike, you know, you just don't see that. A guy goes out there to pitch the ninth and faces three hitters and strikes them all out. I don't think it's any coincidence that his last name starts with K.
Hmm.
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw is, as I like to say on the show, he's pretty damn filthy. That guy, just nasty. But
he can hit, too.
Yeah, a little bit there. Staying with the National League, I think Orioles brass is probably upset that Pujols got hurt because I think there's some walk-up ticket sales there for maybe a few people that don't get the chance to see Pujols play all that often. But I think fans that aren't going to the game are probably happy he's not going to be involved. How much does this affect St. Louis? And, I mean, within that division where it seems very winnable, I know it's a huge blow, but do they have anybody that can fill in, at least fill that void until he comes back?
You know, I never thought they were going to survive the loss of Adam Wainwright for the year. And they have. They've lost Matt Holliday two different times, and they're in first place. They've used the disabled list more times already than they did all last year. There's a certain mindset that Tony La Russa teams play baseball with that's going to come in handy trying to deal with this. The other thing they've got going for them is Berkman and Holliday in the middle of that order. You know, up till now with Albert, there's not a team in the National League that's got a 3-4-5 like that. And so at least even without Albert, they're going to run a real number three hitter and a real cleanup hitter out there for as long as he's out. So that's the good news. I mean, the bad news is they've never had to deal with this. They never had to play without Albert for a month or 6 weeks. The last three seasons combined, Tony La Russa has only written out 10 lineup cards that didn't have Albert's name on it. So this is a whole different deal.
Give me two or three names that could be moved in the next month. B.J. Upton's been tossed around a little bit. You got any others that could go before the trade deadline?
Sure. I mean, a lot depends on how the Orioles play, but there's going to be a lot of interest in Vlad, in Derek Lee, on guys in the last year of their contract. The Padres, that's the one team I think their shop is open right now. Heath Bell. He's going to get traded. Ryan Ludwig, he's going to get traded. Outside of San Diego, right now it's hard to look at any team and say positively they're done and they're selling. So we're not going to have a real feel for this market for a few more weeks.
What about, I mean, Jose Reyes, you're hearing a lot about him and where he could be moved. The Giants were initially, I guess, a contender for that, and they could definitely use some offense in their lineup.
Well, I understand that, but the Mets are two games under 500. Mm. They're very much alive in the wild card race right now. Now, you know, I think if the Mets were rooting for them to go one way or the other, they wouldn't mind if that team took a little tailspin and it freed them up to go trade K-Rod and trade Beltran and try to figure out what they're going to do about signing Jose Reyes or trading Jose Reyes. Right now, they're one of many teams that just caught in this trap of maybe we're in it, maybe we're not, in a year where there's never been more parity in the sport.
Can you say Jakubauskas? That's our final quiz question today.
How fast do I have to say it? How many times in a row?
You got it. You got it. Jason, that's why,
the other night.
That's why you're the best. Yeah, he's got a hit, and I think he's 2-0. Might see more of him. He's our guy.
Great story.
Yeah, we're with him. Jason, thanks for your time. I was good talking to you.
Enjoyed it, man. Thanks.
Jason Stark from ESPN.